Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
He still has that desire and appetite. He'll be back, you know. I mean, and he's a fit. You know, he looks after himself. He runs a lot. He looks after his body. So he'll be back again. He wants that eight desperately, I think, you know, inside, even though he sort of talks it off a little bit. But I think he wants it desperately.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Daily.
You're welcome to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. We hope you're doing great around the country. John Duggan here until 5 o'clock this evening. What is coming up in the show today? Well, in 2018, Leinster won the European Champions Cup in Bilbao. It was the last of their four victories. Since then, they've appeared in four finals. They've lost a lot. Can they qualify for this year's decider, which is back in Bilbao? So Toulon provide the opposition. We're going to have live commentary of the match, which kicks off at 3. Cúan O'Flaherty and Andy Dunn will provide the call. We'll have all the build-up with Andy beforehand. It means Football Saturday is at the earlier time of 1:30 this week. Irish Centurion Kevin Kilbane will join us. We'll also update you on everything else that is happening in the world of sports. You can WhatsApp us today, 087 9180 180. That is 087 9180 180. I suppose the big breaking story at the moment is the final day of the championship, that Ipswich lead QPR by 2-0. Kieran McKenna is set to return Ipswich to the Premier League after one season, and Ipswich with Darragh O'Shea, the skipper, and Jack Taylor in the side today. And at the moment, when you're looking at the playoff spots, it's Middlesbrough, Millwall, Southampton and Derby County occupying those spots. Will O'Callaghan, Offaly's finest, joins me for the news round. And Will, now or never for Leinster, really.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? I mean, at this stage, they're hoping to get to a fourth final in five seasons in the Champions Cup, and it just goes to show that one year where they underperformed in the semi-final against Northampton looms over this fixture. Caelan Doris was talking about it yesterday, and Leo Cullen, where they were overwhelming favourites going into that game at the Aviva Stadium last year. They've generally had home advantages during this run where they've tried to get a fifth star and have come up short. Yeah, sometimes an agonising fortune when we think of the game against Toulouse.
Well, you've had 2 1-score games, and then you had a game that went extra time.
So Kieran Frawley makes a drop goal. It's a totally different narrative. We're talking about Leinster having five championships and, you know, potentially going for a sixth. That didn't happen. They hold on, obviously, in Marseille a few years ago. Maybe they beat La Rochelle. So it's been a lot of kind of ifs and buts. But Leo Cullen, obviously, into his 11th season now in charge. And the last time that they won at Bilbao feels like a very long time ago.
Like even Josh Van der Fleer wasn't even involved in that.
There you go. So, you know,
like we're a player of the year.
Pretty much everything has turned around. You know, like Johnny Sexton was coming towards the end of his career, we felt at that point, and yet he added on another 5 or 6 seasons on the back end of it. But like the reality is that Leinster are targeting winning the Champions Cup. It's what people expect. It looks like there's going to be a big crowd in, at least for this game at the Aviva Stadium. Hasn't been the case in the round of 16 or the quarterfinal. I appreciate there are other factors like the fuel protests happening around the quarterfinal, but a very, very small crowd came in for that. I think the season ramps up for Leinster now at this stage, come up against this Toulon team. And I suppose we'll hear from Leo Cullen in a few moments' time.
Yes.
Nobody seems to be giving the French side much of a chance of turning over Leinster this afternoon. It seems to be a certain acceptance that going into this weekend, we're preparing for Bilbao being Bordeaux versus Leinster.
Okay, so what did Leo say then?
Well, Leo Cullen was speaking yesterday, also on the back of himself and Caelan Doris were doing media after the captain's run. A very light session Leinster did, mainly just kicking yesterday ahead of this Champions Cup semi-final, which is live, of course, here and Off the Ball in a couple of hours' time. But the URC champions will host Toulon at the Aviva without half Harry Byrne, starting in his first ever European semi-final. Leinster were stunned by Northampton, as I mentioned, at the same stage of the competition last year. And head coach Leo Cullen insists they aren't taking the challenge of the French side lightly.
I don't think many people are giving Toulon much of a chance, but like you look at the quality that they have, they've lots of big game players, they've lots of guys that can create something out of nothing and make life very, very difficult for any opposition. So that's us this week. So we need to make sure we do everything we possibly can. And that's the way we try to prepare, not just this week, but in recent weeks as well, what Caelan's been talking about since the, you know, since everyone's come back in post the Six Nations. So, but it's a great challenge, isn't it? Like, and it's exactly where you want to be. So, yeah, listen, we can't wait for the game now. Can't wait for the game. And, yeah, we're excited to, listen, represent. It's the only Irish team left in the competition and all the rest. Like, it matters. Like, it really matters to us. But it's, you know, it's like last year, it's not, it's, you know, everyone we're talking about it to a certain extent because, yeah, everyone, we fell at this hurdle last year. So there's an obvious connection. But, like, it's a totally different challenge, isn't it? Different team. You know, we've some new faces in the group now. But yeah, listen, we're just unbelievably excited by the challenge because we love this tournament and we want to progress to the next stage. So, but Toulon will be saying something pretty similar. I'm sure they're in here what, an hour or so ago, saying something pretty similar, would it?
The words are right from Leo Cullen. Will the performance be right? Toulon have never lost to Leinster.
Yeah, that's the thing. They had that spell of, I think, winning four matches in a row. It's about a decade ago now.
The Johnny Wilkinson era.
Yeah, where Toulon had very much kind of taken, I would say, hold of that mini rivalry that they had. Look, it's two teams, European royalty, you know, seven European Cups between them coming into this game. Albeit, I think Toulon have dropped off in the last decade, so they're hoping to get back to their first final since 16. So yeah, it's going to be an intriguing game. You mentioned some of the team news coming into this as well. It was a case of one in and one out, really, for Leinster from injuries this week. So Andrew Porter was past fit to play. Tadhg Furlong lost his race to be fit, so Tom Clarkson will start on the other side of the front row at tight head. Joe McCarthy and James Ryan coming into the second row, much changed team from Benetton, that defeat last week in the URC. Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose renewing their partnership in the centre. You've got Hugo Keenan back at fullback. Caelan Doris will lead the back row alongside Jack Conan and Josh van der Fleer. Jameson Gibson Park and the aforementioned Harry Byrne continue in the halfbacks as Leinster look to bounce back from that defeat against Benetton last week.
Not the only Irish province in a European semi-final today.
No, and look, Ulster have turned their form around second half of the season. Fly half Jack Murphy saying that they've earned the chance to try and get to a European final this evening. The Northern Province take on Exeter in Belfast, the last four of the Challenge Cup. They have been boosted by the return to fitness of Ireland flanker Nick Timoney for this one. Murphy says Ulster are preparing for an extremely physical battle against the former Champions Cup winners. Ian Henderson captains the team from the second row. Timoney returns to the back row after injury. Michael Lowry retains his place at fullback. Stuart McCloskey's been named in midfield alongside Jude Postlewaite. So considering that Ulster had half a dozen injuries 2 weeks ago, perhaps Richie Murphy's been a bit lucky with some of those players coming back.
So what's your verdict, Will? Are Leinster going to get it done?
I think so. I mean, I think they have really flattered to deceive at times this season. And I would share, I was listening to Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball midweek, and I agree with him that in a weird way, there's probably less pressure on them than there was in previous seasons, where Leinster were oftentimes demolishing teams in the knockout stages of the Champions Cup, and there was this expectation that they would just steamroll teams in the semi-finals. And like, there's still a debate last year about whether Jordy Barrett should have started, and
absolutely
was that the right decision.
And
he probably should, and it may well have made a difference in that Northampton game where, you know, Leinster basically got caught out and weren't able to turn the game around. So I think this time around they'll put in a professional performance. I expect them to get past Toulon. It would be a huge disappointment for them if that wasn't to be the case, but I would temper that by saying that Leinster have not exactly been at their brilliant best throughout the season. But let's see if they're maybe saving some of their best form for the business end of the season,
which is what they want to be doing in Bilbao. Hopefully they'll get there this afternoon from an Irish perspective. Ipswich 2, QPR 0 in the Championship final day of regular fixtures. Remember, folks, Ipswich right now on track to return to the Premier League, and they'll be going up with the champions Coventry City if it stays that way. Coventry 1-0 up away to Watford, Frank Lampard's champions. We also have Blackburn Rovers 0, Leicester 0, Bristol City 1, Stoke 0. Sammy Smodic scoring for Derby County, leading Sheffield United by a goal to 0. That has them now in the playoff spots. Hull 1, Norwich 1. It's Millwall 1, Oxford United 0. So Millwall doing their bit, and hopefully for them that QPR can pen back Ipswich at Portman Road. Preston 0, Southampton 1 at the latest score. Sheffield Wednesday, who are going down, 2 West Brom 0. Goal of Swansea and Charlton. Watford 0, Coventry 1, as I said. And Middlesbrough have just scored against Wrexham 2-2 in the first half, Will. So Coventry top, Ipswich second at the moment. They're going up. Middlesbrough, Millwall, Southampton and Derby are the four playoff teams.
Yeah, Ipswich looking comfortable. Obviously still over half an hour to play in those games, but looks like a 2-0 lead is going to be enough for them. Sheffield Wednesday also confirming at half time in their game that their new owners have now taken over the club there as well.
Kevin Kilbane joining us for Football Saturday, the earlier time of 1:30 this afternoon, Will. So we got us some domestic football news as well.
We do, yeah. Waterford have parted company with their manager John Daly after last night's 1-0 loss to Shamrock Rovers. That defeat leaves the Blues propping up the Premier Division of the SSC Airtricity League. They didn't pick up any wins in Daly's 13-game tenure. Brian Murphy and David Breen, who were part of his management team, will stay on. They'll be in temporary charge for Monday's match against Dundalk at the RSC for the Bank Holiday Monday games. That win saw Rovers move to the top of the table, but their manager Stephen Bradley admitted afterwards he wasn't entirely happy with the performance.
Yeah, first half we were good, some good play, created some good opportunities. I thought second half we were really poor, and Waterford were probably unlucky not to at least get a point out of the game in the end, and we can't accept that sloppiness from each other. It wasn't good enough second half, and we're lucky to win the game. Yeah, you'd obviously want to be more ruthless in the final bit. Sometimes, look, it's a deflection here or there. Michael hits the post, they cleared it off the line. Sometimes that happens, and that's fine. But I was more concerned about the performance level rather than the goals. Like I said, we're really high-level first half and really dipped in the second half.
Rovers going top, profiting from St Pat's dropping points. Aaron Bulger scored twice as Galway United fought back from 2-0 down to salvage a draw with St Pat's at Eamon Deasy Park. Shelburne won 2-1 on the road against Dundalk, and Drogheda United beat Sligo Rovers by a goal to nil. In our live game here and Off the Ball last night, Bohemians and Derry City played out a 1-1 draw at Dalymount Park.
I was watching Leeds United last night beating Burnley. 43 points should be enough.
I think so. I mean, I think when you're 9 clear, 3 games to go, I appreciate the teams below them have a game in hand. Would you expect West Ham and Spurs to win all of the rest of their games to suck Leeds back into it? I don't think so. This felt like a massive one for them, obviously up against an already relegated Burnley. As you say, 1-3-1. Mike Jackson in temporary charge of Burnley for that one means that Leeds are now up to 14th in the Premier League as well. Their opponent's already heading for the Championship. And the Leeds boss, Daniel Farke, said after the game in Sky Sports, it's a hugely significant result.
Yes, massive win for us today, and of course the first goal in such a pressure game for us. Of course, home game against the already relegated side is always tricky. And Burnley, what you have to say, they're always a compact, a competitive side. They have good footballers. We allow them to play football, and it was important to find a good balance, not to run nervous or over-motivated to counter-attacks, but on the other hand also, of course, to open them, and how difficult it is to score goals against them. Yeah, just have to ask Man City last game day. They played the similar formation also with three centre-backs on the pitch, and we're able then, it was a fantastic goal from Anton to score the first one. I think was also crucial not to allow any counter-attacks and any chances for them, and hold the intensity in our pressing and our counter-pressing high. Of course, you're still nervous till you score the second and the third, and it was important in the second half to stay with the foot on the gas, and fantastic team goal and also hard fought, another goal.
Deserves credit, Daniel Farke, for keeping Leeds up.
Yeah, I mean, it seems they've turned around remarkably since that win they got on the Monday a few weeks ago against Manchester United, because it had been a pretty miserable run in the league for them really since late December up until that win. Obviously, a bit of a run in the FA Cup probably helped to bring the form up at this point of the season too, but they've been really good over the last 2 or 3 weeks. I was getting worried they could get sucked into it when I saw their fixtures. Thought this was a game where they'd have to get 3 points against Burnley at home. I've got this win, and now at this stage I think it's very, very unlikely they're going back in. So another season in the Premier League looks like for Leeds, unless something quite remarkable was to happen with West Ham over the next few weeks.
This is the News Round on Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan, Will O'Callaghan with you. Hope you're having a great day, folks. And we have Spurs hoping that Brentford will do them a favour today.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, last week we saw the late goals in Spurs' game. Also, West Ham getting a very late winner against Everton, which kept Spurs inside the bottom three. But West Ham looking to boost their survival hopes when they go to Brentford in one of the 3 o'clock games today. Under pressure, Newcastle manager Eddie Howe could really do with a win against Brighton as well. You've got Sunderland going to already relegated Wolves, while the leaders Arsenal, benefiting from the scheduling this weekend, they could open up a 6-point gap over their title challengers Manchester City if they beat Fulham in a London derby this evening. The game, though, comes between the legs of the Gunners' Champions League semi-final with Atletico Madrid, which is locked at 1-1 after the game in Madrid midweek. Arteta says, though, they can't afford to drop their level this evening with one eye on the second leg midweek.
It's a lot of factors. That's something that emotionally, for sure, we have to manage in the right way. But I would put the emphasis more on again, showing that desire, that determination, that hunger, that will that we've shown all season, and even more, because we have only 4 games to play now and everything is at stake, so it doesn't get better than that. The first thought is that we try to prepare and understand what happened in the first half and try to apply it immediately in the second half. There will be a lot of factors, I'm sure, to get those stats, and it's very positive. But what we want is throughout every 15-minute block of the game to have the ability to do that.
Fulham are a funny club. You just don't know where you're going to get from them, I think.
You don't. And they've given Arsenal problems in title run-ins before. It is probably a big ask for them to go and win at the Emirates tonight. But Arsenal have been shaky. Like, the last few weeks, they've got results, and yet at the same time, maybe not played brilliantly. Even against Newcastle last week, they couldn't get that second goal, just to make it a little bit less nervous.
Yeah, it was his chance. Remember that?
And you just kind of think, if it gets tonight and it gets to a very nervy home crowd watching this game and thinking, are all 3 points going to be secured? It's a sprint finish now, though, John, between themselves and Manchester City. City obviously still have to play those rescheduled games, which are going to put pressure on their squad over the next while. They've got a deep enough squad, is the only good news if you're a Manchester City fan coming into this. But Arsenal know that if they clean out their games, they're going to put serious pressure on Pep Guardiola's side.
It's the pressure. It's in rugby, take your points. And if Arsenal 6 points clear, tonight. But then again, like Fulham's record this season, 14 wins, 14 defeats, 6 draws.
Yeah.
See, there you go. And Katie McCabe's Arsenal also in action today.
Yep, they have a slender lead. They're taking the France. They look to seal a return to the Women's Champions League final coming up in just over an hour's time. The trophy holders in the second leg of that last four tie, a 2-1 advantage against Lyon after their comeback win in the opening game in North London this day last week.
43,572 people were at Punchestown yesterday for the Friday card and the Champion Hurdle and Ladies' Day. That is something I probably haven't seen. I know that was last year, it was very strong as well, but probably since Galway and the Celtic Tiger.
Yeah, it was very, very impressive indeed. Obviously, we've got the curtain coming down on the Punchestown Festival today. Willie Mullins, no great surprise, will be the Irish champion trainer for a 20th time. The 8-race card gets underway with the last day of the festival having 2 grade ones on the card, the Mayor's Champion Hurdle and the 4-year-old Hurdle later. The Mullins trained Lossie out of the course, handed him a triple crown and a Cheltenham and Punchestown Champion Hurdle double with a very comfortable win last night. The Star Mayor now has 11 victories in grade one company. And the winning jockey, Paul Townend, spoke to our reporter Megan Scully after the card last night.
I haven't the words to explain how good she is anyway, or how important she is around the place. She's a star. She's so hardy as well. You know, she's had a busy season and she was still very dominant here again today.
I mean, I feel like we were all nervous around the Braid Ring watching her, and all the eyes, all the ears, everything was on Lossiemouth. What is it like then having that pressure to riding her?
It's a lot easier than trying to beat her anyway. I suppose you're trying not to have bad luck on her, but that can often complicate things. You're trying to keep it as simple as you can, but you know, there's times and you just have to go out and trust her, and she'll always come alive. Like leaving the back straight, she just jumped into the bridle and nearly started running away with me, so she was very dominant today again.
I just was, I really enjoyed watching it back there, because she just kind of went around and just at the end then she was like, yeah, no, I got this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, leaving the back straight, I half moved on her and she was like, all right, you want me to go? I was like, not yet, lass, we'll wait another while. But when I gave her a squeeze then off the bend, she zipped down the straight. Yeah, very straightforward.
I put on social media last night that Paul Townend winning the Gold Cup Champion Hurdle and Champion Chase about Cheltenham and Punchestown and the Aintree Grand National to put him in the conversation for Sports Personality of the Year. Although I think people took it that I was talking about the BBC one. There is a
RT one as opposed to BBC. Yeah, I mean, look, there will be an argument for it. You're looking at a year where Ireland aren't going to a World Cup and where there's not a major, say, loudest competition like the Olympics on.
We didn't win the Grand Slam in rugby. There's no Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, there potentially could be an argument around it, but I don't think he'll win.
No. But think of what he's done is utterly remarkable.
Is part of this, John, that we overlook it ever so slightly? Because when he got the record at Cheltenham as well, people kind of go, well, you know, if you're the established jockey for Willie Mullins, you kind of expect to be on the best horses. Oh, no, I appreciate that totally. And he rides under pressure all the time. Like, he might seem like the calmest man in Punchestown yesterday when he talks to Megan there. But the reality is that he's going on to quite a few favourites in the big graded races. And he's expected to deliver every single time. And in fairness to Paul Townend, he generally delivers every single time. Like, that was one of the calmest rides I've ever seen. At no point when I saw Lossiemouth coming off, say, the third last, did I think, yeah, she's not going to do this. I thought, look, he is just going to give her the kick and on she'll go at the end of it. So he's such a skilled rider.
And also a sport with a huge amount of risk involved. So the snooker, Mark Allen, I was just checking back here through. I remember he beat Ken Doherty in 2007. He was in the 2009 semi-final of the World Snooker Championship. Never been in a final, though.
No, and he's going to have to fight it out here, because this is one for the purists. A lot of what we've watched so far in his match against Wu Yitzhak last night, particularly they broke the record. We had 55 minutes between a pot at one point. An hour went over an hour and a half, that frame, which was remarkable. And there was particularly a snooker that was played by Mark Allen on the pink, which was incredible. So for those who don't care about break building and don't care about loads of balls being potted, and you want to watch two skilled players play remarkable safeties and force each other into difficult shots, it was a really good watch for that session yesterday evening. But at the moment, it is the Chinese player Yitzhak who leads by 11 frames to 10 in that World Championship semi-final. The first to 17 will advance to the decider at the Crucible. We also have another game which is on the knife edge, which will be back out later this afternoon. Four-time winner John Higgins won the last couple of frames last night to build a lead against Sean Murphy by 13 frames to 11. We've had a couple of one-sided semi-finals, John, in recent times, but looks like both of these will go down to the last couple of frames and will set things up very nicely for Bank Holiday Monday.
He would become the oldest winner at 51, John Higgins. 15 years since his last victory, if he did prevail this week.
Yeah, and there's some people who are now arguing at this stage, like, is his longevity as impressive as Ronnie O'Sullivan, even though Ronnie O'Sullivan and Stephen Hendry have got more titles? The fact that John Higgins has gone for such a prolonged period of time has obviously beaten Ronnie in this tournament to potentially go on and win his fifth title as well. So, yeah, he's still remarkably good. Sean Murphy, obviously a former world champion as well. And the other side, you've got two players who are trying to get to their first final.
Now, for the first time ever, Off the Ball brings this live GA show to the Ulster Hall on Saturday, June 13th, delivering a night of insight, analysis and crack. In part one, the hurling pod takes centre stage with Will O'Callaghan, who's in studio with me, yep. Paul Murphy and James Cahill, joined by special guests to dive deep into the race for the Liam McCarthy Cup. Then we have the OTB Gaelic Football Chat. Owen Shane and Tommy Rooney joined by Armagh legend Steve McDonnell. Expect in-depth analysis, big personalities, plenty of laughs as well. Tickets on sale, ulsterhall.co.uk. So make sure to secure your seat. Who will have seat in the provincial finals in Ulster and Leinster this weekend?
We shall find out. Do you know what, John? We're as excited to meet Stevie McDonnell as actually doing the show because
why?
I think Skell, Murphy and I are all of a similar vintage. And so we all kind of grew up watching that period of great democracy for Gaelic football where a series of teams came through and lifted the Sam Maguire. And it was so much colour to see Tyrone, Armagh, you know, go up the steps of the Hogan Stand in a kind of a little run of teams. And like, I thought he was just such a class player. The fact that, you know, he played with such style, would flick the collar a little bit and would go around players and so free scoring. So really excited to meet him. I know we won't be on stage with him, but hopefully we'll get a chat with him in the green room before he goes on with Owen and Tommy as part of that show in the Ulster Hall. But as you mentioned, Athletic Grounds tonight, you've got the first of the Ulster football semi-finals. It's going to be 2023 winners Derry up against Monaghan. Both teams enjoyed very comfortable quarter-final wins and they're both unchanged, I think understandably from there. Monaghan, of course, haven't been to that decider since 2021. Dublin have been boosted by the return of Kieran Kilkenny to their starting 15 for this evening's Leinster football semi-final against Louth in Port Laois. The holders Louth go into that game unchanged from their 17-point win over Wexford in the quarterfinals, and the Wee County are bidding to reach a fourth straight provincial final as well.
We'll talk about the hurling pod in a moment, but Katie Taylor is hoping that this Croke Park dream will happen.
Yeah, she's actually quite upbeat about this. She was talking to Claire Byrne about it. Her promoter, Eddie Hearn, she says is working very hard to make the dream fight at Croke Park a reality. The management team for Taylor and Matchroom Boxing, her promoters, met with officials from the GAA last month, you'll remember, to try and broker a deal at the stadium to host her farewell bout, which is very much seen as Croke Park or nowhere at this stage. The Wicklow fighter says those discussions were generally positive. She's determined to bring the curtain down on her career in front of her own fans in Dublin later this year.
It feels like the only way to wrap it up really would be to end my career on home soil mm-hmm. and a big fight in Croke Park, and not just for me but for everybody else that has spent their hard earned money supporting me around the world. And I want to put on a performance worthy of their support and encouragement throughout the years as well. I actually just even get emotional thinking about all the stadiums around the world with the song Olé, Olé, Olé. Imagine hearing 80,000 people in Croke Park singing that song for my last fight. I get goosebumps nearly thinking of it, to be honest. So it will be the icing on the cake for me to end my career here.
So what needs to happen for it to happen? Yeah. Like, what are the pieces that need to fall into place?
Yeah, I think my team are working very hard behind the scenes to try and make that happen. There's so, obviously so many considerations to making it happen. We're hoping to hear some news soon. But the meeting that they had a couple of weeks ago, Eddie Hearn and my manager, Brian, we're in Croke Park a few weeks ago and the meeting was very, very positive, so we'll mm-hmm. see what happens.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Yeah. I saw Holly Holm's name suggested as an opponent. Do you have a feeling on that, who it should be?
Yeah, I think Holly Holm actually has a fight herself next month, so she has to obviously come get through her fight first, but whoever it is, whether it's Holly Holm or whoever, I'm obviously ready and willing to fight.
So snooker, they've gone in for the interval in the first semi-final session of today. Mark Allen has finally won frame 22, so it's 11 frames apiece going into the break there. So someone else will need 6 frames tonight to progress to the final.
Half times in the championship final day of the regular season. Ipswich Town set to return to the Premier League 2-0. They lead QPR to join Coventry, who they're promoted as champions, and Coventry are 2-0 up away to Watford. Sammy Smodic's goal could be crucial for Derby County. They lead Sheffield United 1-0 at the break at Pride Park, and it's got them now in the playoff spots along with Millwall, Southampton and Middlesbrough. Millwall 1-0 up against Oxford United, Southampton 1-0 up away to Preston, and Middlesbrough are playing Wrexham at the moment, and at the moment that is 2-2. Elsewhere, Blackburn Rovers 0, Leicester City 0, Bristol City 1, Stoke 0, Hull 1, Norwich 1. And what else? Portsmouth 1, Birmingham City 1, Preston 0, Southampton 1. I've given you that scoreline. Swansea 0, Charlton 0, Sheffield Wednesday 2, West Brom 0. The other scores. Women's Super League, Manchester United 0, Brighton 1. The latest score, Will.
Yeah, golf. I was just reading before I came in as well. Bryson DeChambeau is refuted claims that he is in talks to rejoin the PGA Tour. As we all know, LIV Golf are going to lose their Saudi backing by the end of the season. His contract is running down at the moment, but he's released a statement early doors American time to say there is no truth to the rumours that his management team had already met with PGA Tour about potentially going back. On the PGA Tour, Cam Young has got a pretty strong lead, 5 shots ahead of the halfway stage of the Cadillac Championship in Florida. Wasn't a good day for Shane Lowry yesterday, 3 over par, so he's 3 over for the tournament heading into the third round. Just down the road in Miami, Lando Norris will start in pole position for this evening's sprint race for the Miami Grand Prix. The Formula One World Champion finished ahead of the current standings leader, Kimi Antonelli, in qualifying. The sprint race gets underway at 5 p.m. Irish time. That's ahead of qualifying for the Grand Prix from 9. And the former Formula One driver, Alex Zanardi, has died at the age of 59. The Italian competed for 5 seasons before he was in a major crash in 2001. He then came back as a Paralympian and competed in 4 different Paralympics, including the Games in London in 2012.
That's sad news. May he rest in peace, Alex Zanardi. The Guineas is on today as well, of course, at Newmarket. The 2000 Gestad, the favourite for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. 10 times he's won at Aidan, but not for a few years. And the hurling pod obviously goes from strength to strength. Yourself, James Cahill and Paul Murphy. Clare Limerick tomorrow.
Yeah, I like these weekends, John, because you've only got one game to focus on. It wasn't like last week we were trying to watch 5 different games between streaming and TV, and then you're trying to find a way to break them all down into a podcast. But this week is going to have a very strong emphasis tomorrow afternoon on Clare against Limerick. Look, it's become a pressure game for Limerick based on what happened to Páirc Uí Chaoimh last week. Also the fact that they don't have two of her former hurlers of the year in Cian Lynch and Aaron Gillan. I know this Darragh Donovan and Tom Morrissey are not bad replacements to have to come into the team, but they are a little bit stretched. They've got a decent record in Ennis. I was in Seamus Flanagan on Breakfast yesterday. He said he never played well in Ennis personally, but I was just thinking 2 years ago, Limerick put in a big performance to beat Clare at the same venue. So I think Limerick probably have to win this if they're going to qualify. They certainly have to win if they're going to get to the provincial final. And if I'm Clare, I'm probably smelling blood with Limerick's situation at the moment. And what a chance to put your rivals onto the complete back foot for the rest of the championship by winning. My only concern about Clare would be the way that they defended against Waterford last time out.
And even big issue conceding these goals. I mean, it's Tipperary last year as well in the round robin.
That's a huge problem.
Whatever. But on the other side of the coin, what a forward line.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, arguably the best forward line in the championship. And once they get motoring, they will put big scores up on anybody. And look, Limerick looked a little bit susceptible at times in the second half against Cork. I know Limerick supporters will probably text in now and say, yeah, but they were a man short and they still took it down to the final stages against Cork. But it is beautifully teed up for this game. Seamus Flanagan was saying Limerick don't like going to play Clare away from home as well. It's a difficult venue for them. So I think it's a backs against the wall situation for John Kiely's team, which adds that little bit of extra intrigue. Now, as a neutral, there's part of me that kind of thinks if Limerick were to win this and we're coming out of the first like couple of weekends where everyone having played 2 games at that point, where you've got Limerick with 1 win, Clare with 1 win, Cork obviously with the 2 wins on the board, but Tipperary and Waterford with just a point. What a magnificent last couple of weekends in Munster we could have with it being wide open. So let's see what happens tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it.
How do you see Leinster at the moment?
I think Galway will win the championship this year. I think Kilkenny have definitely taken a step back. I'm always wary of Kilkenny, though. We're very good at peaking later on in the championship. And last week, Wexford really didn't put a glove on them whatsoever in that game on Saturday evening. So it has opened the door for another team to potentially come in third place. I think obviously the Offaly-Dublin draw opens that up a little bit too. Offaly should be targeting getting to 5 points with a win against Wexford and Kildare. And let's see if that's enough, or will Dublin put up too much of a scoring difference to try and catch them. But I think it'll be Galway, Kilkenny, and then one of the other three. And I think Kildare, unfortunately, are going to go down.
I've no idea who's going to be the All-Ireland, I have to say.
No, it's great. There's 3 or 4 teams absolutely wide open. And even at this point, despite the fact that Tipperary have underperformed, Tipperary could catch fire and go on form throughout the rest of the championship. So never disrespect the champions is what I would say when we make predictions, John.
When does the hurling pod land, Will?
It'll be tomorrow afternoon. I would say we'll probably record around 4 or 5 o'clock. So it should be available in video and audio form early tomorrow evening, even before you get a chance to watch the Sunday game is my plan.
Well, that's the way to do it, isn't it? Will O'Callaghan, thanks so much for joining me in the news round this afternoon.
Off the ball, daily.